Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Maverick Matthews, and you are listening to Mindfire only on Fringe FM, KTLK. This week, I bring you another episode of Dystopia Now with Nick Hinton. It's been very popular. I've gotten some positive reviews from it. So please enjoy another discussion about our crazy world. And next week, I'll bring you another electronic music set. Mindfire.
I hate this. I hate this episode the most out of anything we've ever done.
Why? I'm actually having the most fun. The following show contains adult content. Sexual situations, nasty language, and a good fucking time. Mindfire.
Have you been injured in an accident that was probably your fault? Cranston Injury Law wants to get you the most for your injury.
I had my hand crushed in a Ferndorf Trenolator, and there was soft tissue damage, and Cranston Injury Law sued that company out of business just because I had misused the machine, and they got me $7 trillion for my settlement.
Cranston Injury Law.
All right, before we get into this episode of Dystopia Now, I would just like to say thank you to everyone who has visited my website, maverickmatthews.com, and either left me a message or left me a tip or purchased my new book, The Wreath of Madness, which does contain a bonus story about Nicholas and I and about Nick breeding miniature zebras at his private biological equine compound in Argentina. If you would like to learn about that, please consider spending $12.99 to support this podcast and my family. And without further ado, oh, also you can follow Nick on Twitter. His Twitter is at Nick Hinton with two N's, N-I-C-K-H-I-N-T-O-N-N. That's him on Twitter. And on Instagram, I am at the_real_MaverickMatthews. So please give us a like and subscribe and follow and subscribe and like and follow and subscribe and like. And without further ado, here is Dystopia Now.
All the things that we like and hate and fear, they're all there on the internet. They're a projection of our limbic system.
And we are, as a people, inherently and historically opposed to secret societies.
We're going to keep pushing back the frontier of space and keep opening new doors of discovery, opportunity, and progress. The stories won't be science fiction.
The United States government has issued a civil warning for all citizens of the United States. This is not a drill, and this is not a test.
Okay, I will destroy you.
I try to convince people to slow down AI, to regulate AI. This was futile.
Hey, welcome to Dystopia Now, I guess.
Is it really go? Is it
yeah,
really go?
This really, yeah. What? Hey, welcome to Dystopia Now, I guess. I'm here in the office, and we got this guy who's out looking at stuff. His name's Tony, and so is mine. What do you want?
Yeah.
What do you want from us?
Yeah,
yeah,
fuck it, Tony.
Whatever.
Whatever.
Yeah, so there's something you got anything interesting to say?
Well, in a few days I'll be going down to East Palestine to get some radiation samples.
Are you really going down there?
I really do want to just go see what's happening, yeah.
I mean, what do you think is happening at, like, post facto?
I don't know. I have no idea.
I mean, are people even talking about it? Is it just like a crazy idea you have?
What do you mean? Crazy idea I have. I mean, on the news, there's people saying that they were evacuated. Maybe I think there may have been a lot back, and then there's a big lawsuit going on. I think they are only owed $1,000 each per citizen.
Wait, they've already decided this?
What?
How could they already have decided? Like, yeah, $1,000, that's all you get.
I heard that's just what they're doing for now. I think they're actually trying to sue them, though.
Dude, what if the place is poisonous forever?
Well, that's what it looks like. I mean, so no one's cleaned up any of this poison stuff yet, and
it's just sitting on the ground?
Well, reporters are going there, and, like, looking at rivers and stuff and like moving rocks around. If they move the rocks around, then like you'll see bubbles come up from beneath the rocks and like create like a rainbow film on top of the water. And so it's obviously contaminated. Apparently animals and plants are dying.
Are these reporters wearing like hazmat suits?
Yeah, and then I've seen pictures of people wearing hazmat suits, but not the citizens, just the people. just the government people. You know, they don't have to wear masks or anything. It's fine. COVID, do wear a mask in Walmart, but not if you're in East Palestine. It's okay. So, yeah, I don't really know what's going on. That's why I just want to go see it for myself. And I'm only, I think I'm like an hour away, so...
Well, we hope you don't turn into a frog, Tony, because they're turning the frogs gay.
That is true.
But are you worried at all about, like, first of all, how weird is it that they're like, okay, it's toxic, but you can just go home?
Yeah, well, I mean,
they didn't even, it's like they didn't even do any testing.
Have you seen that stuff? Have you seen that stuff about the Environmental Protection Agency has, like, a right to capture land that is deemed toxic?
Really?
Yeah, and then they can relocate you to a 15-minute city.
Oh. So, okay, so let's get into the dark angle here, the conspiracy, if you might call it that, as Richard would say.
Yeah, as Richard says, yeah.
You know, so the first thing I brought up to you was I was like, okay, well, honestly, to me, this series of explosions seems like attacks on us, like terrorist attacks.
Yeah.
Because there's so many of them. Have there been any more? Like, let's go through the list of them. How many have there been?
I know that there's been one in Texas, North Carolina, obviously here in Ohio. Those are the ones that are for sure trains, but there's been more toxic spills or explosions. Arizona, there was a truck that crashed that released a bunch of toxic stuff. Oklahoma, I think some kind of factory caught on fire. In Florida, some kind of factory caught on fire.
Well, let's discount the Florida one because that's probably just inept workers.
Oh, yeah? Because you're in Florida, it's okay?
Well, because I'm surrounded by Floridians and these people are like the lowest intelligence of the whole country. And so sorry if you're from Florida, but I am saying that on a Florida radio station.
Oh, my God.
No, I'm just not super impressed with the caliber of intelligence down here.
We have a lot of friends from Florida.
I'm just being a jerk. I'm just in a bad mood, Tony.
I know you are, because...
because just according to these chemical spills, I also had one of my own, where my own private train exploded.
That's right. For the folks at home who don't know, you are a train conductor, right?
I drive around in a private train that is licensed to drive on roads. It has special wheels, and no passengers except for my son occasionally. And
yeah, so you're telling me you're like one of those guys in the mall.
Yeah, but or at a park that has like those special little trains. But I have a license to drive it on the road, fast. Do you ever see that video that was making the rounds on TikTok of the guy in the shopping cart who was on the highway holding to the back of the garbage truck?
No.
You never saw this?
That sounds fun, though.
Dude, you know how, like, videos will go around Instagram and, like, you'll see the same one, like, a couple times for weeks or whatever?
Yeah.
This is one of those videos. And it is a homeless guy sitting in a shopping cart, okay? And it's from a guy on the highway, and it's pouring rain. And this guy is holding onto the bumper of a garbage truck, and they're going like 70.
Bro,
and they're going 70 that. Miles an hour.
Dude, he's just trying to get somewhere.
Bro, and he looks... for the listeners, go look up this video. I kind of want you to look it up now. I'll even pause this for you to find it, because you're going to lose your mind. First of all, I don't understand how the wheels could handle that speed. Are you looking it up, Tom?
Yeah, I'm looking up. Yeah, dude, you would think that the bearings would just...
Bro, you're just... Explode. At any second, you're just waiting for this guy to just explode.
Yeah, hold on. Shopping cart. Dump truck.
Garbage truck on the highway.
Are they even called, what's the difference between a garbage truck and a dump truck?
A dump truck is just a big container with wheels that you can fill with anything. A garbage truck is like going around getting garbage.
Yeah, I'm silly for that.
I'm glad that I had to explain. That was very Johnny Pemberton, what just happened.
I can't believe I didn't know how to dump truck.
I'm so glad we got that on the audio. Did you find it?
No.
Oh, man. For our listeners at home, send it to us. But it's already been 2 weeks since we recorded this, so.
I'm out of my mind today. I didn't know what a garbage truck was, and I searched the same exact string of words 2 times in a row thinking I'd find something different.
Yeah, dude, anyways. And you're excited to go down and get chemicals on your brain? Like, what's wrong with you?
Yeah, I might be turning into Frogman right now.
Frogman! Well, okay, so like the obvious thing that we talked about, and I just heard Sam Tripoli talk about this exact same thing, so we're not trying to rip a premise off, but everyone's talking about this right now, is how like the movie, what's it called, Gray Area? I'm serious.
I mean, it's just funny, you combined a lot of things together, like there is a gray man in there, and then it's called White Noise.
Okay. The movie White Noise is basically identical to this scenario. Like, same town, and the same people who were in the movie were evacuated.
Yeah. So yeah, they filmed it in the same exact place. We talked about this on our last podcast, too, before Sam talked about it. So
we did?
Yeah.
Okay, good. So he ripped us off. Haha.
We have intellectual rights to this movie.
We have intellectual rights to this premise.
We have a monopoly on conspiracy information.
What if I start listening to Broken Simulation and I realize that he's just ripping us off? I'm just joking, by the way. Listeners, hold on 2 seconds. Listeners, I'm obviously just kidding. Sam Tripoli is a close friend of mine, and I'm just being silly and giving props where props is due, because I had never listened to Broken Simulation, one of his podcasts, before, and I realized how similar it is to Dystopia Now when I did, and so it's one of those things where you create something at the same time as somebody else, and they're very similar. All right, what you got?
1 second.
There's nothing better than dead air on a radio show. When the people are like, are they still broadcasting? What's happening? While he's doing this, folks, I'm going to tell you a virus story. Story about viruses.
That was some good dead air. Sorry, I had to mute myself. Did you hear that incoming call? Sorry, I had to ignore the call.
No, I did not hear it. Don't worry. I was talking about...
I had to grab a Bing Raz energy drink also from the fridge.
Don't say that. What is a free fucking commercial?
This is, yep, I'm sponsored now.
No, you're not. Wrong. I'm going to beep that out. Beep.
I'm sponsored. No, that's literally its name, so it doesn't matter. You can't beep it.
Oh, you made that name up?
No, it's literally called Bing. So when you, nope. You say beep.
Beep.
Close enough. Free ad space.
Right now, people are like, what am I fucking listening to?
Yeah, well, fuck it, Tony. This episode sucks, just like the last one. who cares? What do you want from us? What'd you ask me, even?
Oh, my God, dude. We were waiting for you. Oh, my God. You're like, hold on, I want to play. You go, hold on, I want to play this. And then I'm like, okay, well, just hold on. And then you just disappeared for a while. What? This is the best. This is, honestly, this is probably going to get a Razzie Award for this year, this content. It's going to get a Krangle Award.
Anyways, movie White Noise. Great movie, 5 stars. I give it 10 bags of popcorn out of 10, and I'm actually going to include a energy drink filled with toxic chemicals on the side. Anyways.
That's a Tim and Eric ripoff. Go ahead.
Yeah.
What are you going to play for us? Did you find the video? Are you going to play this for us or what?
What do you want me to play?
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Hold on. So it's a White Noise, right? It's my hot take on it is that it's funny that there is a bunch of like postmodern references to simulacra and references to the Situationist International Society.
Tell us about that, Tony.
basically a group of people who idle around, they wander around, they flaneur around, they're urban explorers, and they are pranksters, and they create situations.
What does that mean?
And I don't really fully understand it, but they basically try, they're like the original culture jammers in a way.
They're not OGs though. How old are they? Like dude, we came up with the term culture jamming in 1996.
Okay, well, you're gonna fucking have your mind blown when you hear how old the situation is.
Because I'm a hipster, buddy.
Yeah, well, they were doing it before it was hip.
I mean, I'm sure somebody invented that term before me, but like we, as a like my little group of friends, started referring to culture jamming way before I ever knew about like, you know, what's that? Chuck Palahniuk's Discordian Society.
You mean the? I think it was like the suicide. Or no, the Cacophony Society.
Yeah, there it is.
And I think there was numbers from some kind of suicide society too. But anyways, this is all like Discordianism, right? And so are the Situationists, in my opinion. But Situationist International was an international organization of social revolutionaries made up of avant-garde artists, intellectuals, and political theorists. It was prominent in Europe from its formation in 1957 to its dissolution in 1972. The intellectual foundations of the Situationist International are derived primarily from libertarian Marxism and the avant-garde art movements of the early 20th century, particularly Dada and Surrealism.
So they're Marxists. Overall,
yeah, yeah, and they hate the establishment, they hate the Masons, and they are kind of at war with them. Like
They sound like Malachians.
Yeah, dude, so, like, if it's Discordian in a way, then it goes back to the Bohemians, who are the,
No, your link, hold on, I want to remove that link. If this is really a movement from the 50s, okay,
Bohemians are just gypsies, they're wanderers, they're flaneurs.
Yeah, yeah, but, like, that's not my point. Like, these guys are actively creating chaos. Like, they're trying to create situations, but, like, a chaotic situation, right? And so, like, if you got radicals in this group, they could be doing things like blowing up trains, right? So...
Right, the reason the Situationists had to dissolve was because I think a sect of them became that... underground group of people who made like bombs or something in Chicago. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Like some liberation front, some group that was like, you know, the Eurasian Liberation Front or whatever, and they radicalize and they become terrorists essentially. And yeah, I mean, like if you read, for example, Illuminatus, Robert Anton Wilson, like one of the premises in the book is that there's like 20 different radical groups that are kind of like all interacting and fighting for supremacy, but they all have like the same agenda, and it is to just interrupt the status quo because they think it's unfair. And so essentially what we're talking about is a group that just wants to do that. And when I say Molochian, you know, if you look at this on a real spiritual level, going back to like Babylon, you know, or before, you know, you essentially find, and if you study like the black nobility, That guy who was, what's his name, Ian something, lectures on this a lot. We're just batting 1,000 on references here today. But anyway, the concept is that like there are essentially only a few tribes of negative energy, right? And then they splinter and get into all these little tiny nuanced side groups. But the main ones are like the people who worship Moloch or Baal, you know, it's connected to the influence of Saturn, right? And the idea is that like all that evil entity wants is pain and suffering and chaos. And so anything that contributes and disorders things essentially goes with that energy. And then there's another group, the Luciferians, who are associated like with fundamental knowledge and duality, and anything that seeks to improve the material human condition. So like capitalism is a perfect example of a Luciferian concept because it seeks to, you know, create a competitive, anything that has to do with competition and then improvement of the material physical condition. So a perfect example would be the Masons, because they want to touch and affect everything, right? They want to affect everything
and put their little perfection spin on it. And that's why there's so many levels to Masonry, whether it's Scottish Rite or whatever. So that's a very, very Luciferian group. And a lot of people don't even know the difference between Luciferianism and, like, Satanism or Molochianism. But, like, those are essentially the two powerful entities fighting for control. So, like, America is a very Luciferian institution because, you know, supposedly opportunity exists here, but you have to fight for it, and you have to buy into the Babylonian money magic system in order to do that, which is a system of control. And, you know, it goes back to, like, anything that seeks to control and bind is Luciferian, right? And people confuse that with Satanism, because it's not. Like, Satanism is all about just, like, pain, suffering, destruction, instability, and then you can take over through that instability, right?
Yeah, so I don't know if I agree 100% with all that, but it is interesting you pointed out, like, this Hegelian dialectic between the Molochians and the Luciferians, which just seems to be another version of, you know, communist and fascist, or, yeah, I guess it's like these Discordians versus the Saturnians or something like that. You know, it's like chaos.
Well, no. Saturnians would be, Discordians would be, groups. Discordians would be defined as Saturnians, because chaos is, like, the idea of Luciferianism is enforcing a kind of order that is competitive, not egalitarian. And so, like, on the White Lodge side of all this, you would have, you know, like, people who worship whatever you want to label, like, a sacred kind of white divinity, where it's like, and I don't mean like the color, I mean like the energy of, like, equality, love, sharing, non-competitive distribution of resources so that everybody can have a prosperous life. See what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Which is kind of like what I aspire to kind of focus on, right? And, like, I pray. I'm not a religious person, but I'm a spiritual person. And when I pray, like, I do believe there are entities bigger than us that may even affect our outcomes or influences. And, like, you know, that's what vibrating at a higher level suggests, right? So, like, if you get negative, like, there's a real tendency for me to get negative right now because of what's happening in my life situation, and I notice that when I start focusing on all that stuff, it gets worse.
Yeah.
And like, when I try to focus on exercise, eating healthy, connecting with my friends, contributing things like this, like, it takes work to sit, even though it sounds like we're just a couple goofballs, it takes a lot of effort to sit down and, like, do this, right? To create and structure things. When I start to vibrate on that level of energy, like, not only do I feel better, but, like, things tend to improve.
Mm-hmm.
How do we segue this?
Well, I'm just trying to think of a, like, I don't understand necessarily how these, who exactly these two groups are, but yeah, there seems to be a chaos group, an order group, a black lodge and a white lodge, or Molochians and Luciferians, or yeah. So anyways, like, yeah, the Masons, like you said, would be kind of like the capitalist people. So it's like capitalist versus socialism, fascism versus communists. And an interesting thing is that the Situationist International, when it was first formed, it had a predominantly artistic focus. Emphasis was placed on concepts like unitary urbanism and psychogeography. And psychogeography is like this weird concept that's also been used to study cybernetics and, like, you know, the connectedness between different humans. But ultimately, it's kind of about when you leave a human to wander and they're not using necessarily the map of reality that we've been given, where do they go? Where do they naturally go? It's kind of about the spirit of place and, like, psychic currents, right? Like, at my college that I used to go to in Toledo, they didn't have any sidewalks at first. They just let the students walk around campus for a while until paths naturally formed in the grass, like, all where, and then where all the dead grass was, they created the sidewalks there.
That's pretty cool.
What?
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it is. And so that's like the natural psychic highway of how you get from one room to another on campus, right? And so it seems like there's people right now studying how the mind works just through letting people wander and creating situations and see how they interact with them. Like, what are people going to do if we have all these very obviously fake train crashes? It's like a situationist prank, right? Like having a movie about it and then having the thing actually happen in the same place. It's almost like a spectacle type event, which is another idea that these people are obsessed with, is that society is kind of a spectacle. It's like a theme park. It's like Disney World.
Well, check this out. Yeah. This came to mind when you were talking about the sidewalks. I personally do actually believe that the reason so many construction things, like the reason like we have a tendency towards what's easy and cheap, guess what we end up with? We end up with cities that are laid out in square grids. Why? Because it's easy and cheap to make square things. That's an extremely Luciferian and satanic concept combined, because efficiency and creating order is part of like the Luciferian thing. But like what happens is if you overlay something that is naturally biologically interesting with a grid and force people to interact in a grid, now you're bringing their level down psychically and physiologically, so that like the creativity in their mind is removed. Like, how do I get from point A to point B? Oh, you just go, you follow this straight line, because it's on a grid.
That's... Yeah, well, it seems like something alchemical is happening, because it's like, you know, even white noise implies randomness, right? The movie name.
Right.
And so you have this randomness versus this certainty. And I don't know. It's like I said, these people were culture jammers. They would create situations to basically go against the status quo and kind of create chaos in society in order to tear down the bureaucracy and, you know, allow people to be more free. However, they ended up taking that to an extreme and became literal terrorists. I'm still trying to find the link to the Chicago Underground Bomb Squad or something like that. I don't remember, but what?
Here's one thing that's interesting about that too, is like you see this pattern emerge with everything creative, where it starts out organically, right, as something that the universe gives birth to. A great example is electronic music. When electronic music first came out, it was like this underground thing that came over from Europe real organically. And you could say, yeah, part of it started in Detroit with like particular DJs looping certain songs and like creating this new art form out of it, right? But like especially in the 90s, electronic music was like this very underground secret thing. And people would go to like electronic music festivals, raves, as like a spiritual church. You know, and everybody was like, it was very loving, and everybody was giving each other massages and touching, and MDMA is involved, which, you know, MDMA was originally used as like a marital therapy. And like, I can speak personally from experiences that I had, like, I wish I could get my ex-wife to sit down and do like clinical MDMA, ceremonies, but like therapy. Because like it does remove
sessions.
Yeah, it removes your ego, right? And so like electronic music was born as this really organic, beautiful thing that just came out of, I don't like to use the word culture because I think culture is a kind of programming, but it came out of our heritage as human beings, like as the next form of music that evolved. And then very quickly it was turned into like this mainstream product where it's cookie cutter. It's, you know, everybody knows that it's going to be like two drops in a song, and then the first part of the song is going to build up to the drop, and then da da da. There's no artistry in it anymore. And now a lot of people, most like common folk who don't know the history of the electronic movement, think of it as this very like cookie cutter boom 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 thing. And you're like, yeah, I don't understand why people like that. Well, it's because it's just not the beautiful art form that it started out being, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, I understand what you're saying.
So what I'm saying, let me just wrap this, tie this idea up in a bow, and then you can go. So, like, the idea that this, like, sort of Discordian movement started as artists and then, like, either got corrupted or was taken over, that's kind of how every – we talk about this a lot. That's kind of how every movement goes, right?
Well, yeah, Bohemian Grove was originally four artists, right? And then it turned into this weird Milwaukeean thing.
Exactly. And it's almost like that force seeks out, because it's not creative, it seeks out things that are creative and tries to destroy them.
And right, like, and that might just be part of the human condition. You know, anytime something cool pops up, the powers that be will get in there and use hubris and pride and just the tendency for people to sell out and, you know, take that and use it against people. But yeah, like all of these ideas of just like living life randomly, kind of like the situationists, where like I see that proliferating in the world today very rapidly. It's like COVID was almost a situation that these people might have created, or at least the people at the top used their philosophies to create, because it turned everyone into wanderers. Like how many more people nowadays are just urban exploring, spray painting all these dead businesses, you know, breaking the windows and getting in there and, you know, looking around these old abandoned buildings and stuff. And but besides all that, it's like it's being used to kind of create anarchy. And like I said on one of our other podcasts, like there's people on TikTok every day playing pranks on people. Like it's just a prank, bro. Like everyone is out creating situations and creating chaos in the world right now, right? And everything is kind of about the spectacle. Everyone's using their cell phones to record people. No one's actually acting how they would really act, because they're being observed constantly, and they're like living in their own reality television show. Like, you know, everyone, do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's like they're setting up the premise for like constant 24-hour surveillance of every person ever.
Yeah, and so it becomes like a giant spectacle. It becomes a giant show where
they're trying to turn the entire country.
Everyone's an actor now. No one is who they are. Everyone's an actor now. Everyone's a celebrity. Everyone's got a...
Do you know what it makes me think of, though? Instead of having to have the Colosseum where like you have the people fighting the lions, it's like they're trying to turn the whole country into the Colosseum. So that everyone is not, you don't have to go to the circus to be distracted from what the government is doing. Everything's a circus. So it is almost impossible to not be distracted.
Yes, exactly. And so, it's just crazy that a lot of people are being, you know, some of these situations are created that entice people to go down the rabbit hole, right? Like, oh my God, here's a train that was very obviously exploded on purpose. So let's dig into this. They're enticed and seduced into the rabbit hole. They end up wandering the country sometimes to go find occult monuments and stuff and urban explore these random areas and uncover some mystery, right? But they're literally just chasing their own tail and playing this kind of infinite game, right? Where they're distracting themselves through uncovering these mysteries that really aren't going to change anything at all. It's like, in the book, The Glass Bead Game by Herman Hesse, it's like, there's this idea that all the intellectuals live in this like enlightened ivory tower society that's completely separate from the world, where all they do is indulge in pursuits of the mind in order to play this infinite game that if you beat it, somehow you become enlightened. And, I feel like that's what's happening to everyone. Like even this podcast is kind of its ivory tower. It's like, what are we really doing other than chasing our own tail and looking into situations? You get what I'm saying, kind of?
Well, yeah. I mean, they're setting it up for like it's like the infinite game principle that you and I were talking about earlier, where, you know, it's ideological capture. Like as long as there are different versions of what is capturing people, people are going to be looking for what the quote unquote truth is. And they're going to be comparing all these different things, being like, I got to figure out the truth. Meanwhile, you're still paying your rent. You're still buying gas. You're still paying the bills. You're still paying your taxes. You're still doing all the things that the game masters want you to do. And it's just like, as long as we keep them busy, then they won't stop doing those things.
Yeah. And so it is like a giant alternate reality game. So like, you know, and for people that don't understand what an alternate reality game is, you can think about a situation like this where you're walking down the street and you find a poster, you know, hanging on like a telephone pole or something. And it says, oh, if you think you're a unique person, do you experience synchronicities? Are you into mysteries? Do you have strange dreams? Then call this number. And you call the number and, you know, you uncover some seeming mystery and a totally orchestrated Easter egg hunt ensues. But you don't know that it's all orchestrated, right? Like, so you don't know that there's these weird social scientists and rich people behind the whole thing. It's kind of a prank. So to you, it was real, but to them, it was fake. So it's like a hyper reality, right? It's like a fictional truth. Do you get what I'm saying?
And so yeah, it's not even a prank though. It's like an intentional introduction of chaos. But that person doesn't understand that they're just a useful idiot being another chaotic element, not focusing on writing a book, how to escape the game, not growing plants, not trying to fucking listen. Here's something crazy.
I just want to say this.
Oh yeah, go ahead.
Is that it seems that we're all kind of trapped in this conspiracy themed alternate reality game. And so people are playing this infinite game, going around doing nothing, distracting themselves. But at the same time, it's also what motivates them to keep going. Like, why am I paying my bills? I still got to figure out the mystery. It's like people are still collecting resources and working jobs so they can figure this out, but it's really not changing anything.
It's also it's not like an alternate reality. Like, trains are blowing up in people's neighborhoods. You know, that's happening.
Yeah, for real. Yeah. No, it's real, but it's like it's presented as fake in the way that it's very obviously orchestrated. That's why people are looking into it, because it's very suspect. Even my mom is like, don't you think it's weird? Like, she doesn't believe me about anything, but she's like, don't you think it's weird that all these trains are blowing up at the same time? Like, yeah, it's super weird. And that just reminds me of, like, you know, when you're into investing and stuff, people say, hey, if your neighbor is telling you to buy something, dump the stock, right? Like,
right.
When everyone gets on board with something, there's obviously something wrong.
Right.
And I'm not saying you have to be, like, the outlier at all times and be unique and special and super smart. I'm just saying it's very obvious to me that they are making it obvious, right?
It's interesting, man. There's so many things going on, and like this is like what we were talking about before we started recording. There are obviously people at higher levels who have an ability to change the game and move the game. Like a real simple example would be like Elon Musk tweets about Dogecoin and like it goes up. So like all you have to do is be one of his friends and have him say like, "Hey, I'm going to tweet tomorrow." You buy a shitload of Dogecoin, you wait till the tweet happens. You wait till it's at its peak and you dump it. Like, there are people. So that's a very, very simple example of manipulation, right? And then you have like Nancy Pelosi, another good example. So let's just assume, okay, let's start with the premise that there are people manipulating the game. These people are going to get bored and they're like, how can we manipulate all of the masses? Oh, now you have something like the military industrial complex where they're like, well, we can make $1 billion by starting this war over here or like toppling this government. We got to do this. And then like now they're doing it to us as a citizenry, where they're like, oh, people are talking too much about Pfizer with Project Veritas, you know, like it's really getting too much attention. So we got to cause all these other things to get people distracted. Oh, and you know what we haven't even touched on? The fact that they're literally initiating Project Bluebeam right now.
Yeah. So, I mean, and, you know, even my dad asked me about Bluebeam. So, and he doesn't believe me about anything either. So it's crazy, man. Like, what's going on? And it seems to me that everyone, like, it seems that, let me just start with this. Like, if I was a rich, crazy sociopath and a social scientist, and I had all these infinite resources, I probably would turn society into a kind of escape room and use it as a intellectual, you know, if I was part of the Illuminati, I was obsessed with the intellect, you know, I would probably create these crazy rat mazes to see who can actually make it out, right? And then introduce them to my ivory tower. Right?
Yeah, maybe.
My glass bead game. Who can beat it? Who can reach enlightenment? This seems to be like a giant, massive initiation through the game, through the escape room, through the Chapel Perilous, to bring people into the religion of Illuminism, you know, the Illuminati's religion. It's like...
But you know one interesting thing?
And so everyone is beginning to see reality as a kind of Truman Show, Matrix, or Westworld-type scenario where they're like, oh my God, everything is fake. And I think that is being done on purpose. They are literally trying to reveal the world stage to people to entice some kind of Gnostic revolution. You know, it's all about chaos, but like this is part of the ritual, right? And by revealing all of this stuff, I don't know. I think they're getting ready to change the facade. That's why they're revealing it. And some people will be convinced that the good guys really won once everyone reaches that, you know, once a portion of the population, a critical mass, becomes illuminated or whatever you want to call it.
Well, but this is one of the things that's always talked about with Illuminism is that, like, and it's mentioned even in, like, you know, some of the references to Weishaupt and Plato's
cave too.
Right, but like the idea is that once you do reach that super secret top level, the secret they tell you is that there's no secret.
Right. Well, and so this also seems to be like the first part, like in an initiation process, what the adept does is he goes into the abyss, which is kind of what everyone's being prodded to do in the year of the rabbits. They're chasing the white rabbit into the psychological labyrinth, the hole into the synchronistic wonderland, the underworld, right, where the mystery is found. But before you can get there, you have to pass the gatekeeper, and the gatekeeper causes madness, and you have to get past that madness first. But it seems like we are all in kind of like this state of mind where it's like, oh my God, everything's connected, everything's crazy, and everything's fake. And it's like, this is the disassociation part of the mind control ritual, right? Where the psyche's fractured, and and yeah. I hope that makes sense.
It kind of does. You know what it made me think of was like, this might be a natural, as crazy as this sounds, it might be a natural permutation of like just that the normal progression of the human condition. Because if the soul is a real thing, and like we have been incarnated into these bodies, which are just temporary and like are an experience, right? Like it would make sense that like these bodies would create the same kind of reflection of a fake experience for it to have. And so like you get this effect. Have you ever taken two mirrors and put them in front of each other?
Yeah.
So like that could be, that could be what is happening to the human condition. Because essentially you have like the soul's experience in the human body being fake. And so like, of course, we're going to turn this whole thing into some weird matrix. And then you have the two mirrors just reflecting on into each other. And that's the inception component where you're like, how many layers deep can the human condition go?
Right. Yeah, I mean, that White Noise movie was an example of putting people literally in inception. The people in East Palestine are living in a simulacrum of their own situation, right? Like, it was a movie that was a fiction that became true. They're living in a hyper-reality, right? They're living in a spectacle. Everyone's paying attention to it.
I mean, and that's the other thing, too, is like...
When everyone has a black mirror in their pocket, yeah, we're going to live in this hall of mirrors, right? Like, I really think this is part of the transmutation of the whole entire world that the alchemists at the very, very top are trying to do, you know, like they have to get the majority illuminated before they can transform everything into the philosopher's stone. And it has to be done through Hegelian dialectic, like we said, where there's the Luciferians versus the, you know, the White Lodge versus the Black Lodge. Like that's what we're watching. It's the Hermetic principle. You know, they're creating these two sides. And they're showing the fakeness on purpose so they can reveal the truth on purpose, but it's their truth. That's just my opinion. But
right. No, I agree with that. It's not the truth, because the truth would be like, get rid of the government, form small tribal governments everywhere that are like ruled in a very egalitarian way, focus on love, focus on things that...
The communists, though, they wanted to expose the FBI, they wanted to expose...
Yeah, but like, here's the thing, man. They always, all these evil groups always have like 90% positive agenda, and it looks like, oh, no, they're good. But that 10%, it literally negates everything.
I'm not saying it's good. I'm saying that this is order versus chaos. But go ahead, sorry.
Right, but there's so many... It's not just... That's so binary. It's not binary. It's not one versus the other. It's infinites versus infinites. And that's why it gets so confusing. And what they want to have is a reductionist view so that you're like, look, it's order versus chaos. That is what they want you to think. But that is not real. Go look at nature. It is much more confusing. It's not like, oh, these are the good animals. Lions are good. Like, no, it's just fucking it's madness and it's insanity. But there are patterns that do emerge within it that represent love, nurturing, caring, sharing, you know, and then there are also patterns that emerge within it that are the opposite of that. And so in my, like, I tend to agree with everything you're saying, but I think that, like, it's not one supergroup versus another supergroup. It's like a bubbling cauldron of all these different components of power, and some of them rise to the top and get more for a while, and then that naturally goes away. Like, you can tell that something is happening to our country, you know, like, Biden seems to be controlled by, you know, he's definitely not doing things like, why are we sending hundreds of billions of dollars away and yet we have, you know, food shortages and everything's expensive and gasoline's expensive and like people can't buy houses anymore. And like we are losing as a country right now, but I don't know what the nature of the battle is.
I mean, I think that they're trying to piss off the conservatives on purpose. It's super obvious what's going on. It's not a secret that Biden's totally inept, but I think that they are... it's like a limited hangout, they're leaking this information on purpose, because I truly believe that the deep state is a kind of sacrificial scapegoat, right? And so they're exposing themselves. So the high IQ people, which, like I said, these people are kind of obsessed with the Illuminati, you know, they're obsessed with the intellect. I think they're initiating the high IQ people. And this goes into like the GATE program, where, like, you know, smarter kids were taken aside and forced to read books like 1984.
Yeah, it's like Maze Runner.
And I think Maze Runner, Divergent, Hunger Games. I really think that all of these things were subliminal programming to create a class of Gnostic revolutionaries that will take down the sacrificial scapegoat. So once the new facade comes in, people will be convinced that, oh my God, the good guys won.
When in reality, the bad guys just took over.
Yes, yes. But we will literally consent to helping them bring in the New World Order. Like this World Economic Forum, Great Reset stuff, the fact that it's being talked about by like Tucker Carlson and Joe Rogan and people like that, like, it is not a secret. And I think that a lot of people are pissed off about it, and that is on purpose. They don't let shit like this fly, you know.
Right. Right. Just like if these were really aliens, the government wouldn't be fucking telling us about them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, it's like it's such a show. It seems so staged to me. Like Klaus Schwab dresses like a freaking supervillain.
Yeah.
Like they're putting it in our face that this is bad, this is evil. And a lot of these occultists, they never imagined a world run by a dark dystopian fascist, like crazy New World Order. They imagined enlightened utopia ruled by ascended masters and light beings, right? And I think that's what we're being prepared for, because they're exposing the darkness on purpose so they can introduce the light. It's the black and white of the Masonic checkerboard, right? It's the hermetic principle. That's alchemy.
I just am convinced that, like, it's, you know, like, just like the Vatican is obviously an evil entity, and they pretend to be they pretend to be part of the White Lodge. It's obvious that they're not, you know, and they give you little hints. I totally agree with you that I think they're setting up this whole, like, these are the bad guys, so that more bad guys can come in wearing the good guy costumes and be like, we're here.
Yeah, like, how does the Antichrist work? He's a savior at first.
Right. I mean, Hitler, perfect example. He was on Man of the Year, Time Magazine's Man of the Year.
Yeah, and he was, you know, it was like this crazy occult revival, which is happening in America.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, like, it's the same pattern they use over and over. They create a problem so that they can be the solution. And the real, like, yes. Where is the real solution? Who knows? But what do you think? Okay, so we're getting close to the time here, and I'm gonna have to cut a few minutes out, but I'll cut that dead space out in the middle.
But, I don't know. I kind of like that.
I know. I'll find some stuff to cut out, but we're a couple minutes over, and so I want to wrap this up. But how can we end on a positive, actionable idea? Where, like, I know we spend a lot of our time, like, just nitpicking how bad things are and what we think is really happening, but, like, I'll tell you one thing I'm doing right now. I'm starting a garden with my son. So we just planted all these carrot seeds, and they're currently in the sun, and they're starting to sprout. And, like, the more time I spend, like, engaging with the earth and things that are growing, it is very satisfying, and I can see myself devoting a lot of time to this in the future. And a lot of people talk about this. Oh, start a garden, man, start a garden. And everybody hears that and they go, yeah, whatever. No one actually does it. So, like, what are you doing? Or, like, what are actionable things we can do to opt out of this reset, you know, on a daily basis, aside from, like, the obvious ones, like exercise?
Yeah, I mean,
for a change.
I really think it's just, like, you know, going outside, touching grass and doing the simple things, enjoying your family. And I know some people are in a situation like you, for example, where they can't make that happen as easily right now, but you know, just doing the next right thing for the people immediately around you, not seeking these mysteries that never end. It's the infinite game, right? And it's just going to drive you mad, and it leads to more questions than answers, and ultimately insanity if you take it far enough. You know, and so Paul talks about this, and, you know, I'll quit with the Bible stuff in a moment, but Paul talks about this. He's like, I worry that people will, you know, seek after empty man-made philosophies and lofty, high-sounding nonsense, and be deceived by traditions of elemental spirits, because the simplicity of the gospel actually bewitches some people to go seek after more complex things. And it's just like the craftiness of the serpent in the garden. You know, it's like, oh, here's this crazy labyrinth of, you know, ideas. And the answer, I think, is just so much more simple. So I'd like to end on this note where in Thessalonians, it says, we encourage you, brothers and sisters, to do this even more, to seek to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, and to work with your own hands as we command you, so that you may behave properly in the presence of outsiders and not be dependent on anyone. And I think that really speaks to this homesteading, get out of the madness, get out of the spectacle movement.
It's funny, I agree with 99% of everything you just said, but you know, it's the trend, it's the, you know, those doctrines have also been taken into the hands by the evil ones and perverted it. And
can I say something real quick on that note?
You can tell by the word command. We command. Nobody commands me. Like that word is put in there intentionally because the presupposition is someone commands you. No one commands me. And so like that's exceptional advice. You should drop out and do all that. But it comes from the mouth of someone saying, I own you. And that's where the problem is. If you're going to be my master, if you own me, you have to take care of me. Just like I have to take care of my dog. And no one, where's the fucking care? No one's caring for me. No one's watching my back.
Like you said, like you tell me all the time, God helps people who help themselves. I believe you.
Yeah, but that's it goes back to the father thing. That's not how good fathers act. I don't help my kid only when he helps himself. I want him to learn to help himself, but that's my job to teach. No one's teaching me. No one's taught me my whole life. No one took care of me when I was a kid and I was getting molested. No one took care of me when I was fucking homeless on the streets of Los Angeles trying to figure out the game. I did that all that myself. There was no sky daddy helping me. So that one word puts a distasteful taste in my mouth, but the rest of that phrase is beautiful. Like, yeah, you should opt out.
And I want to tell you something that I really love that Paul also said. He says, I'm paraphrasing here, but he says something like, the letter of a word kills, but the spirit of a story gives it life. So it's not about literal translation.
That's right.
It's about the moral of the story.
Right, but
Jesus,
I mean, like,
Christ spoke in parables, right?
Yeah, but I mean, like, here's, you know, there's a Bible sitting in front of me right now, and it's one of those King James editions where everything Jesus said is in red, and all the other words. If you take all that stuff and you read just the red words, guess what? It's identical to what Pythagoras said 600 years before him, which is why I don't focus on this one Jesus dude, because he was like a bad comic who stole jokes from a previous comic who came 600 years before him. And elaborated much more eloquently on the nature of discipline and how you have to be disciplined in order to actually get where you want to be. And one of the doctrines that I see the modern Christian church propagating is not discipline. It's just trust. Trust that God will have your back. Well, that's not how it works, man. You can't just trust that their dollars will show up in your bank account. You have to go earn them. And that's the fundamental fallacy of that doctrine that I find really distasteful.
One thing I will agree that's weird is the 153 fish story and then Pythagoras'
They're identical.
But anyways, maybe next podcast we can do a comparison.
Ooh,
of
that'd be fun.
Pythagoras to Jesus.
That'd be interesting. That'd be fun. That'd be productive.
Yes.
Well, listen, thank you for letting me have strong ideas against Christianity. And, you know, look, it's your path to be on. You have your own exploring to do. And I respect where you're at. I'm not trying, you know, it doesn't really matter to me what you believe, but in a sense that, like, if all of a sudden you're like, I sacrifice kids now, I'd be like, no, you don't. but like, as far as like believing in a tradition that's positive, that's fine. Like,
here's the thing, man. Like, the dark side doesn't entice you with sacrificing kids, right? Or no one would join. It's got to be a seductive siren call into the labyrinth, the mystery, right? And I think by the time you end up in the underworld, it's too late to realize. And I think they're doing that to the whole world right now. Good night, folks.
That's great.
I'm just kidding.
No, that's good. That's good. We'll end it there. We'll end it there. Yeah, don't get seduced into the labyrinth. Get off of Instagram. Stop listening to podcasts. Listen to this radio show every day. And
quit mining data and feeding the machine. That's all you're
seriously,
doing.
Seriously. Go for a walk on the beach, which I'm about to go for in a little while, and because I'm in a dark place and I don't know what else to do. But guess what? That's all you can do. Yeah.
Love you, folks, and I love you, Mav.
I love you too, buddy. And enjoy your incarnation. And we'll talk to you next time here on Dystopia Now.
It's my only incarnation.
Thank you for listening, folks. This episode of Dystopia Now was brought to you by Mindfire, only on Fringe.fm KTLK.
Cranston Injury Law wants to get you the most for your injury.
I had my hand crushed in a Ferndorf Trenolator, and there was soft tissue damage, and Cranston Injury Law sued that company out of business just because I had misused the machine, and they got me $7 trillion for my settlement.
Cranston Injury Law.